cows unite. Well, they already are united. Aren't all cows united? They all hang together. They all look the same. They all behave the same. When one of them goes, they all do it. That's because they're cows. Do you want to be a cow? I don't know. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Dentalist. I'm Jay Nemro, and this is part three, I don't know how many parts there's going to be, of my diatribe. Every podcast I make is a diatribe, for Pete's sake, you don't hear from anybody else, on child development. All right, well, we got up to the point to where we were talking about child care centers and about our culture, and about how the fact that our culture is based on remedies. We're always wanting to fix something that's wrong, and that's where we concentrate a lot of our interest. We're not trying to make life particularly better. We're trying to just get rid of, you know, deficiency. That's what we do. And people don't like to hear that. I don't think they've ever thought of it that way. But when you see where all the money and all the effort and all the time and all the training goes into, it's mostly in remediation, trying to remedy a problem. That's where the word remediation comes from. The first 2 years of any college coursework is basically retaking almost everything you learned in high school once again. You might have a few new classes that you couldn't take in high school, but by and large, you're retaking your last 2 years of high school, the first 2 years of college. Why? Because we remediate. We try to bring people up to a certain level that we think is okay. And sometimes it takes 2 years of college to do that. Things that should have happened in high school, but apparently did not. Anyway. That is the way it works. If there was, say, for instance, a recipe of child development, if you were to say, here are the ingredients, here's the procedure for baking a cake, we would do it in such a way, you know, you'd write down all your instructions in a recipe. You'd say, this is the ingredients, this is how much you need, this is what you have to do with it. Fold, stir, whip. I'm a home economist, so I think in these kind of lines, too. And then all of a sudden, bang, you've got a cake. You have to understand something about the way our culture works for these kind of things. We're always, to a degree, in most ways, we're trying to devolve all actions down to something that a monkey can do. Honestly. It sounds bad. I'm probably putting a connotation out that you don't like to hear. But it's really true. We really want to reduce almost everything in life down to the point to where any idiot can do it. Just by following some simple instructions. And that's what happened. I sometimes give an analogy of baking. You know, it's just like that cake I was talking about. You know, probably 200 or 300 years ago, you had professionals who their title was baker. And so much so that that was their last name. A lot of people you meet that might have the last name Baker, that's where it came from. Somewhere way back in their past, in the baker line, they had a person that was their job. They baked. And they had to be pretty good at it to make a living. They might have even had a guild of bakers who you had to prove to other people that you were a good baker, a master baker. You had to earn kind of a rank amongst other bakers. Now, he would sit down. He pretty much knew what he was doing. He would experiment a little bit, but let me tell you, whatever came out of his oven was this fantastic confection that was marvelous. One hopes, if he's a master baker, that's the way it's going to be. So we had all this stuff. Now, remember now that our culture has changed. We are now worried about efficiency. We want to be able to crank out as many of whatever we're cranking out as quickly as we can with the least amount of money, effort, time, whatever involved. Do it the best way we can to try and make it so that people get a reasonable facsimile of the cake. Okay. Now think about for a minute, you can take all this marvelous cake that was baked by a master baker. This is what he does all day long. It is fantastic. You can think about people who make like wedding cakes, the really amazing ones. And that's all they do is make wedding cakes. And they're fantastic and great. And then you think about just your average run-of-the-mill Joe Schmo, whoever, making a cake from a box. Now, when you make a cake from a box, somebody's gone to some effort to make it as simple as humanly possible. You basically just have the mix. You might have an egg, but maybe you won't. You have water, and it's made so that you almost can't screw it up. You know, you mix up all this stuff according to simple 4, 5, 6, 7 instructions at the most, because that's what most people can deal with, is something that just takes a couple of instructions. And all of a sudden, boom, you have a cake. It looks like a cake. It may even remotely taste like a cake, but you can certainly tell a difference between a master baker and his cake, or her cake, let's not be gender specific here, and somebody who's just made a cake out of a box. It's usually pretty obvious. Texture's different, taste's certainly different. Everything about it's just different. When you make a box cake, what they're telling you is that within certain parameters, you should be able to make a cake just like anybody else can make a cake with them, as long as you follow the instructions properly. That's what's happened to child development. It's even gotten to the point to where that's kind of how we parent. When you have a child, you follow an instruction book. There used to be an old idiom that used to say, you know, babies don't come with instruction manuals. That's not true anymore. Babies do come with instruction manuals. You get to pick which instruction manual you want. The first one that came out was probably by a guy that we all know as, I can't believe I forgot his name. Dr. What's his name? Dr. Spock. Dr. Spock's Baby and Infant Care. Amazing book. And he wrote it specifically to be an instruction guide for parents on what to do with kids. How to behave with them. What kind of stimulation they need. How often to feed them and burp them. Do all those things. Amazing. We now have instruction manuals for kids. Well, honestly, it goes on up past that. There is a child development process, orthodoxy, talked about it in the previous one, that has a very simple instruction manual for how you keep child development going. I was talking before about the model daycare center. I worked for one for 5 years, actually for a little bit more because I worked for another one that was run by the military, and I used to do all their curriculum and all their training. Actually, I didn't do the curriculum at all. We followed the curriculum guidelines that were set down by the military. And it's my job to train people in the proper application of that, those curriculum guidelines. Anyway, so just like that box cake, just like Dr. Spock, there's this thing. You can go out and buy a book, and it basically has what we would call a canned curriculum. If you follow this curriculum, kids will grow. Kids will learn. Things will go average. You should expect that your kid will develop at an average rate and become an average kid if you follow this thing. As long as they don't have any serious deficiencies, or as long as they're not severely gifted. Which is kind of a funny thing. In all our culture, we often go to the extreme of calling gifted people who are really good at something, we attach the same label to as we attach to illness or deficiency. He's severely gifted. There's something the matter with him. We need to slow him down a little bit, well-round him a little bit more. I'll talk more about pointiness and well-roundedness later. Anyway, we've got this recipe, and like I said, we try to boil everything down to the point to where a monkey could do it. That's exactly what we do in child development, too. It's a dirty secret, and nobody likes to hear it because it makes child caregivers feel, they feel kind of bad, inferior, not like they're important people. That's okay. We need a lot of monkeys. You're being treated like a monkey. You're being told exactly what you're going to do. It may give you a little bit of place here and there so that you can do your own lesson plan, stuff like that, especially if you've had a little bit of education. If you're well-versed in the orthodoxy, they'll actually trust you enough to let you write some lesson plans. Practice, practice. I remember spending an entire year of my college career. It was a short career, let me tell you, because it's over now. I'm not going back. Spent an entire year under the tutelage of a master teacher, master preschool teacher, learning how to do lesson plans right. Not just how to write them correctly, the correct form, but also what needed to be addressed in there, what everything needed to be tied to a specific developmental need, and you needed to address that need. Even sometimes, if you were working with kids with particular deficiencies, you would have to spell them out, particularly, this is for Jane, this is for Dick, this is their deficiency, this is why we're doing this lesson, and this is how it's going to solve the problem. And that's exactly the way it went. You can see in every single lesson plan that's done, especially those for special needs kids, that actually focus on that, that these things are specific and they're designed to meet specific needs. Exactly how it works. I've been a special needs kid now for 13 years. I should know a little bit about this. Also, I've been in the field of child development for far longer. So, yeah, I know a little bit about it. Enough to say that I don't like it. I think it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea to put monkeys in charge of your kids with just a canned curriculum that's made to take care of all this stuff. Now, up until this point, most likely, most things I've been saying, your child care expert, your child development practitioner, would agree with me and say, oh, Jay's absolutely right. What a fantastic guy. What a smart fella. I'm going to now totally blow them away and make them hate and despise and want me dead. You know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to say that everything they are doing is for naught. It's worthless. A kid left to himself with a box full of rocks and sand would probably develop better than a kid with all these different people testing, measuring, producing specialized plans for a group of kids. That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that that's probably just as good. It'll accomplish just as much, and it'll be just as beneficial to that child to have what everybody would just think is horrible. Custodial child care. Wipe their noses, wipe their butts, put food in front of them, give them a chance to get to some fluid, some water, some milk. Let them have all those things. Let them have copious amounts of free time with some really basic materials to mess with, and you'll see a kid doing amazing things that nobody could figure any kid would be able to do. That's what I'm saying. But that's only half of the thing. It's upsetting. It's going to make all the people that studied so hard, it's going to make all that just, it's going to make them nuts. And I'm sorry to say it, but I think it's really true. You know, there are certain facets of life that are really, really important. Trying to make sure that kids meet developmental milestones is way down that list. I would stack a loving and concerned parent up against the last 50 years of intense research by some of the most amazing minds in the world trying to put together this infrastructure of child care. I would put one concerned and thoughtful parent up against them, and I bet you their kids would turn out better in almost every way without having to do any of that. I'm going to be vilified. I'm going to be roasted. I'm going to be put on a spit and cooked for having said that. And some of them might actually agree with me, and if that's so good for them, I'm not going to go on anymore. We're going to go ahead and have a part four. This is going to be kind of short. The simple reason that I want to have a little bit more time to talk about what I think is more important, something that we could do instead of child development. And it's really kind of different. It's really crazy. And it sounds like it's what we're doing, but we're really not. But that what we should be doing for people. I'm going to leave it right here. Next time, part four, podcast number four, the Child Development Series. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. You can see us on the internet at Quix, Q-U-I-X, .us. I'm Jay Nemro. Bye! I'm passing towns right now on the road. We're having a good time. Let's keep it rolling. But don't you be a cow.